Matt Yang King is coming to the Saskatoon Entertainment Expo. That's going to be on May 4th, May 5th, Prairie Land Park. Now, I've got my co-host here, Sarah, as well.
Hello.
Hey, Sarah. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good morning. I'm pretty good.
Got a few minutes to chit-chat with us then?
Sure, absolutely.
Excellent. Have you ever been to Saskatoon before?
I have not. I am intrigued.
Okay.
I've been to all over BC. I've been to Vancouver. I've done a bunch of work doing Riverdale up in Vancouver, and then did a big game in Montreal. But I've never been to Saskatchewan at all, so I am intrigued.
What have you heard? Are you excited? Are you nervous, or what?
I looked up. There was a museum of oh god, what was it? That was so. I really want to go. It was like a museum of hay. I don't.
The WDM, the Western Development Museum.
Yes, that was what it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
The little boom town they have is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. There is some hay stuff there, but it's kind of like it's like stepping back 120 years into history. It is very cool. You're right. You definitely, if you have a chance, yes, go and check it out.
Yeah.
There were all sorts of things. I was just looking around and going like, there's a museum of antiquities. There's a development. You know, there's Glitchy's Oddities Museum, which was like I was looking at my list.
Sweet.
Yeah, Glitch is a weird little shop. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we're excited to have you here and be a part of Sask Expo, obviously. Myself, I've done and I'm trying to do a little bit more voice acting, so I guess I just want to hear from you first off, like how you got into this.
Just as an actor, straight. I mean, first of all, I was doing the television show Numbers on CBS. It was on for about 4 or 5 years. And my agent basically got an invite to do a role on Family Guy.
Cool.
And after I did the role on Family Guy, the woman there basically said, hey, you should have an agent. And I went, okay. And I went out and went to this, ended up with ICM and they signed me. And then I did, there was a bunch of non-union work at that time, and so I ended up working for this little itty-bitty company called Blizzard,
who was doing
a game. Right. But they were doing they weren't nearly the conglomerate they are now, and they were doing a game called Warcraft 3. So I signed on and ended up doing a role called Illidan Demon Hunter, and that was and that sort of launched me in a lot of sort of geek modalities, and the rest is history.
So did you have an ability to manipulate your voice ahead of time, or did you do this one and then go, hey, hang on a second, maybe I can
some more of this? I've always done funny voice acting. Yes. I mean, I've always been making funny voices, and one of the main things is that voice acting, one of the easiest ways to really strengthen voice acting, if you ever want to get into it, is to watch 1920s, 30s, and 40s movies. Because the movies tend to be from that time period, tend to be slightly broader. And the characters from like Peter Lorre or anybody else in there tend to be very deep and full. But they're broader. And you can see a lot of their influence into Warner Brothers cartoons and stuff like that. So if you watch those movies, you'll pick up characters that directly apply to voice acting in a very distinct way and have a direct through line back to the origins of Hollywood. It's really fun. I mean, you can't hear any animated character without hearing the voice of Ed Wynn doing that whole thing. So, I mean, they're very linked there. And you think about the early British actors and, you know, people who are like Alec Guinness, where everything sounds like it's being read off a blackboard. You know, it becomes a direct through line to that oldie timey Hollywood. And so that's one of the reasons why I love that voice acting so much. And it's actually, for me, a historical endeavor.
So is that how you kind of prepare for voicing diverse and different characters? Do you kind of you watch this old stuff and kind of keep some in mind, or how do you do it?
Now that's part of my palette. I don't have to do that as much because, you know, you can only paint with the – you can't invent a new color. So you can only paint with the palette you've been given. So the thing that I do is to go in and investigate a character that way. And then I'll sort of find a link or something like through – there's a website called the International Dialect of English Archive. And it's this amazing – just archive of every possible dialect of English. And so I'll go in and I'll just listen to real people doing what they do. So for instance, when I was doing Liu Kang for Mortal Kombat, I noticed that the character was originally based in Bruce Lee. And I found it interesting that through all of these different people who have done it, many who are very iconic, you know, nobody had ever done Bruce Lee. And so I was thinking about it and I was going, okay, so what would it be like to have a 55-year-old Bruce Lee play this character? And Bruce Lee's accent is interesting, right? Because Bruce Lee is a guy who has a Hong Kong accent. And Hong Kong is based in Cantonese. And Cantonese sounds like you are chopping vegetables, right? And then there's an Eton English accent, which is very formal. Right, and it's very precise. And so when you take an Eton English accent and you combine it with a Cantonese accent, you end up with this sort of formal tone where the Chinese does not, it's inflected by an English. And the funny thing about people doing Bruce Lee, even Mike Mo, who did him in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the thing that everybody forgets, and even Mike forgot, is that Bruce is a child of the 60s. And so, and he was working with Steve McQueen and he was teaching Kareem Abdul-Jabbar martial arts. And so there's this real like 1960s quality to his voice. So to get Bruce Lee, there's this sort of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar like, yeah, Jack, that's going on there. And so when you combine that, yeah, Jack, with the other thing, you get this quality of be like an Asian water. You put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. And so you end up with that Bruce Lee.
That's super
cool.
But
he's 32, right? But he's 32 when he died. So I was like, what does he sound like as an older guy who's been through a bit more? And you end up with Liu Kang.
Get a bit of that gruff in there. Yeah.
You know, there's a gruff and the gravel. So it's all a process. It's a fun process.
So I gotta ask, like with doing like Liu Kang and like Final Fantasy, and even like I think it's super cool you got to voice Shredder, because I'm all about the bad guys. Did you grow up watching any of this stuff or like playing these games, and then like get super excited that you're voicing some of these guys?
Guillermo del Toro said, "When as a 40-year-old man, you're supposed to make your inner 12-year-old happy." And
yeah.
I've made my inner 12-year-old happy. Yeah, I mean, G.I. Joe, Transformers,
so
Shredder,
cool.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, being able to do all of those franchises and, you know, being able to have an action figure, come on.
That's so cool, yeah. Is there one that sticks out the most to you that you had the most fun voicing?
Oh, the characters and work that I've done, that my favorite is the David Fincher Tim Miller series on Netflix, Love, Death, and Robots. And doing those for The Witness and for Good Hunting, those episodes, that's my favorite work, just because it's so spectacular.
That's one of our favorite
shows.
It's
just so spectacular. And being able to work on that show and really contribute to it, it's just one thing where I just watch it and I'm proud. I'm proud to have been a part of it. It's just, it's such a wonderful show. And I'm a big old fan of Twilight Zone and sort of short form sci-fi. So it's just, I just geek out every time I watch it.
So there's like, you've done dramas and animated stuff, horrors. Is there, like what draws you to particular projects or roles, or are you just like, I'm all in for it. I want as much experience as I can get and do. And
yeah, I tend to be more Michael, you know, Michael Caine about that thing. Michael Caine never said no to a good role or a bad role or anything in between.
You could toss in Nick Cage in there too. Yeah.
Just, I don't care. Right? Like him and Sean Connery. Like, you know, Sean, I always wonder like how somebody pitched Sean Connery Zardoz. And we're just like, so Sean, you're going to be wearing red underwear for a good 6 months. All right, I'm in.
All right.
That sounds great. That sounds fantastic. Let's do that. Right? Like, I'm just like, okay. So no, I tend to go for whatever I'm interested in, and the things now is I've started working with Pixar and like that, doing Elemental and a few of the others, and you know, working with Brad Bird and on Incredibles 2, and then working in Elemental, and then some stuff that's coming up has just been joyous. It's just, I mean, being able to watch Cars with my nieces and nephews and my kids, and have them crawling all over me as they're watching it and going, that's you. That's so much fun.
Yeah, that is cool. That is cool when that kind of happens. Are there some projects that you're working on now that you could tell us about? Or are there?
I can see that. That's the problem with voice work, is everything's so darn deep in the NDAs. I can't really mention a lot of them. There's some really big video games that are coming out, and video game projects that have already been a part of that are coming out. There's some other stuff. I really can't. I'm so sorry.
No, that's fair.
I had to ask. I had to try.
my husband wants me to ask, is there more Baki in your future? He's a big anime guy.
Yes, there is more Baki. We recorded a bunch with it, and actually there's he'll be excited, there's a huge crossover episode of Baki that's coming. I can't talk
about what
the crossover is, but that's coming, and that's gonna be real cool.
He'll be very excited to hear that.
Sweet, hey?
Yeah.
Report back home to him with that. What advice would you give for new aspiring people trying to get into this or voice acting specifically, thinking back to your own path and journey?
I would say the first thing you should do is go to the website, iwantobeavoiceactor.com. It is created by Dee Bradley Baker, who is the best of us. Dee, who did the original voices of Appa and Momo in Avatar: The Last Airbender, and I tried to do my best to honor him in doing it for the live-action version. But Dee is extraordinary. He is an absolutely extraordinary voice actor, and has put together an amazing website of every possible resource you could need to try and become a voice actor. So just go to iwantobeavoiceactor.com or look up Dee Bradley Baker and voice acting on Google, and you'll not only be amazed at what that guy can do with his voice, because it's extraordinary. You'll see all his resources, and the guy's a mensch, and it's wonderful.
Well, I think it's very telling that you have already taken the time to even Google old Saskatoon, and you know, you obviously put a lot into this. We're thrilled to have you here and get to hear more stories and hear more voices in a couple of weeks. We appreciate your time this morning, and we'll see you soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Have a great morning.